very excited earlier this week when we were able to start sharing some information with you about our guest speakers today. We recognize them as the guys who created The Gallows and recently got to appreciate them in their podcast, Unlikely Story. And they're here today to talk about their experiences and hopefully mentor you, young artists and filmmakers here at CART. And so please join me in welcoming Chris and Travis to CART.
Thank you, guys. And welcome to Unlikely Story podcast. This is a podcast that we are going to put out to the world. So thank you guys for being a part of it.
We do want to see that bicep from the podcast.
Stop.
Yeah.
Stop. Did I show a bicep? Oh, I did. I was on Wipeout. Have you guys seen Wipeout?
How many? Yeah.
I was on Wipeout and there was a moment when I was feeling strong. And I was I got flushed down this wave of water, came down and knocked me out. But I got up quick and I was moving. I got back to the top of it and I held on to something. I went like one of these to the cameras, you know, like I got this and continue on. And the guys, the announcers were like, oh, and look, showing a little muscle or the place where a muscle should be, you know. So they like mocked me. I was like, great.
So. The teachers here, they're super awesome. And you guys are... You're blessed to be in the positions you are and have the resources that you have.
Very lucky.
Yeah. It's awesome. So thanks for having us.
This has been around here for just 20 years, right? I mean, some of us have been graduated from high school for that long. So not having that option, I mean, we can tell all kinds of olden times stories, right?
Back in my day.
I didn't have one of these. We didn't have these when I was in high school. There was none of this, even for most of my college, I did, you know, but... You can make a high definition, full length feature film on this thing. How stupid is that? It cost like $100,000 for a camera back in the time and then another $100 for a lens, you know?
And then the film.
And then the actual, you know, stuff that goes through the thing and you have to like
so different.
Glue it together and tape it and all that. We kind of want to answer any questions you guys may have about the industry, about getting started, all that kind of stuff. And we have a microphone here. If you have a question, just go right up to it and form a short line. And then as people leave.
We'd love to just kind of discuss whatever's on your mind, whatever you guys are curious about.
Break the ice for us. What do you got?
Yes. Okay. Let's get it going.
All right. Is it on? All right. So my name is Jaden. I'm a senior and I'm about to graduate in June and go off to film school in LA.
Awesome.
And I want to be a director, actress, and screenwriter. And I was just wondering, how do I get more chances and experiences directing, even though I'm still in school and I have little to no experience?
It's a great question. And that's awesome. I mean,
yeah,
that's
excited for
big
you.
Goals. And I love that. Where are you going to film school?
Los Angeles.
Do you have like a place picked out, like a certain school?
So far, Woodbury has accepted me, but everybody else is just still deciding.
Taking their time.
Yeah. And I'm assuming you're planning on moving down there soon.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's you're putting yourself in a great environment first and foremost. LA is where we were just talking about this. There's so many opportunities down there that aren't here. Like people are filming stuff left and right, literally all the time.
Especially for actors. If you want to be around where you can audition for a lot of gigs, you got to go there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You can do stuff up here, but it's going to be like a local commercial every once in a while. And, you know, for $100.
Even just signing up for like central casting is what it used to be called back in the day. I don't know if it still is, but you'll just get cherry picked to be an extra on a show or something. And just being on set like that, you get to see so much. So cool experiencing that. But really, once you're in that environment, you're just going to start meeting people. And those are going to lead to opportunities, being on set, doing this or that.
I would say this. If you're going to stay here or if you're going to move to LA, just find gigs to work, even if it's for free, as long as you need to. You'll feel the time when you're like, hey, I should be getting paid. But you're going to meet people that will end up getting into production, management, and then they'll hire you. The reason they'll hire you is because you're going to be the most responsible and reliable person on the set, and you're going to have a positive attitude, and you're going to be super fun. And they're going to be like, oh, she was great. Let's have her on this thing when we actually have money for it or whatever. Mm-hmm. That's the biggest and best thing you can do. Number one, to get the experience, which will be even better than the film school that you're going to. I mean, Noah is helping us out here, but he'll even explain. He's at film school right now. He's doing what you're about to. But he'll tell you some of the things that are interesting and pitfalls about that kind of stuff, or we'll reiterate it. But you got to be the best person on set, the most reliable person on set, the most fun person, positive energy on set, wherever you are. For acting, just do a bunch of auditions. Audition as much as you can for whatever you can. If you're going to be directing or producing something, doesn't matter where you are, just focus on creating a project. You know what I mean? Like, actors can bounce from project to project. The project doesn't rely on them being creative or organizing people or getting money or any of that stuff. An actor has the easiest job. I think I just saw something. It was like the media spotlight was on this actor. And the actor looked all, and then there was like 1,000 crew that was not in the spotlight. You know, that made the movie possible. So the acting gig is kind of simple in terms of just, you got to just audition for a bunch of stuff and then go participate. But to see the nuts and bolts, try to latch on to any crew position, whatever it is, a PA, a production assistant to just start, and then just be on as many things. You'll become a better actor from being on set. You'll become a better director from being an actor. The more you know about all those things, it'll really, really help you.
Oh, okay.
But film school, I mean, go have fun, make great connections with people. That's probably one of the bigger things. If Chris went to film school, Noah's going to film school now. His equipment is somewhat of a downgrade, we were just talking about, from where he's been at high school up here at Buchanan.
Just he went crazy. High school.
He has great equipment. All the kind of equipment you guys have here is insane. And he's like, oh, yeah, we're like operating on these like super old cameras. Like, I'm like, I'm paying extra money to go to this school. Like, hook it up. And it's like the hookup is the people and the relationships that you make.
Okay.
Anyone can do any of that stuff, whether you're here or there. As an actor, you'll have more opportunities down there. But if it's not acting, you can do that stuff here or whatever. So over the summer, before you go to school or before you move down there, get a group of buddies and go make stuff or do it here. Borrow the equipment from here. You got amazing stuff here. And then just go make a bunch of shorts, stuff that you can do for a reel.
No, I mean, you covered it really well. I agree with making a reel for the acting side especially.
Hi, my name is Lily Cameron. I also want to be an actress, director, hopefully a film editor at some point.
Oh, nice.
Oh, cool.
My question is, what is the scariest part of your film journey?
I'd say it's kind of just a general feeling of not being supported by anyone. Like, you're kind of just on your own. At least we feel that way oftentimes. Like, we don't have...
Even if you're not, you still are, I feel like.
Yeah, like, we don't have a studio or a big producer or a big money source backing us. It's just us doing this stuff. And when it turns out, then they'll latch on and be like, oh yeah, we're a part of that. But up until that point, it's just us creating something that we hope and pray and cross our fingers, you know, we'll make it. So that can be scary. Just being on your own and making something that even if we invest in it ourselves, like put our own money or our own resources, our own time
into. We could lose it all.
Yeah, you could lose it all, or it could all just turn out terribly. Something tragic could happen and the movie doesn't get finished or whatever it is. So that can be scary.
Yeah, not knowing the outcome is what's, that keeps us awake at night. Like we borrowed money. We borrowed $115,000 for the first Gallows from like a collections attorney in downtown Fresno who believed in us and wanted to invest in us. But like until that movie saw any money, like we were like, we owe someone $115,000. Like we're screwed if we don't make good on this. But we believed in ourselves all the way up to that point. And then certainly they've made much more than their money back, which has been great. But the latest movie that we filmed, we had to finance most of it ourselves. We had a few friends that jumped in because they wanted to. They're like, I want to be part of that. And we were still uncertain if we were all going to make our money back on that. Thankfully, we have, and we will continue that tradition. But until you have a studio system that can kind of just throw dumb money around, you really are on your own. And even then, you're kind of on your own because there's a lot of trickery that goes into studio accounting, we'll say.
We were actually just talking to Mr. Chambers about this in terms of taking initiative and creating things on your own. There's a great speech, if you haven't heard it, look it up. It's Mark Duplass, if you guys don't know who he is, but he's an indie filmmaker and he was speaking at a festival, and he said, the whole title of his speech was, "The Calvary Isn't Coming." It's not coming. Even when you have all these
successes. You know what the cavalry is?
Like the help.
The help, like the
rescue party.
Reinforcements from the army aren't going to show up to help you. Like,
no one's coming.
The army.
No one's coming to help you.
There's no they. It's like, oh, if I get trapped in a mountain, like, they'll come rescue me. No, there's no they. It's you. You have to save yourself. You have to cut your own arm off. You know, if it's been 4 days and you're sitting there in the middle of the crevasse, you got to cut your arm off and then climb out on your own. Like
127
hours. 127
hours,
yes.
Does that answer your question? Hopefully.
Yes. Thank you.
Best of luck. Same information and advice to the last person who asked the question. Good stuff, guys. Good questions.
Yeah. Hi. My name is Alyssa Copeland. I hope to be an animator, 2D or 3D, awesome. In the air. My question for you guys would be, how do you guys station costumes? Do you have a designer on the team? Do you make them yourselves, or do you go and buy them?
Costumes. That's a cool question. We still do, but she actually just moved away. We had this awesome person. You might know her. Her name's Trina Short, and she didn't do anything with movies until she started working with us, but she designed costumes for plays and shows.
She bought a bunch for several of the movies we've done, and she fashioned many things. She's great at sewing and doing that kind of stuff. And we, for a while, it was just her in her van loading, the racks of clothes to and from set. And, you know, as indie people, we don't have the luxury of a lot of the things, but we did just recently get gifted to us kind of a trailer, and we modified it to be a wardrobe trailer. So we got it all set up to do something. We filmed one thing with her, and then she moved out of California just because the cost of living in California is just, it's out of control. Yeah. California taxes and all that is just out of control. So she's like, we're going to Kentucky where we can own half the state.
Yep, she's
gone
now.
For the cost of a one-bedroom apartment in California. So,
are you interested in doing costuming as well, or are you just curious about that?
I do a little sewing, so I have made a few costumes, and then I do like a little bit of, you know, dress up and stuff like that. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
We've recently been able to film a couple of cool, like, flashback things that were really fun for this TV pitch series that we're working on, where there's flashbacks, the same person, but like in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s. So we got to like get some cool old school clothes and things like that. Hair and makeup was cool because one of them's this young kid and he's got straight hair and like they permed his hair. So he's got like this killer 1980s, you know, perm. And it was just really fun to see all that stuff.
Thank you.
If you're interested in helping with any of that stuff, follow us on at Tremendum Picks and we put the word out for people to want to volunteer or help us out because we're a small operation here. We need help. We need volunteers. We need interns, the people that can help. And those people that do that stuff have moved on to do some really cool things. So we're mad that we don't have them as much as we'd like. But thank you for your question.
Yeah, I'll certainly reach out. Thank you so much.
Hello.
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 I'm Donovan Dean. I like doing a lot of sound kind of things. I just kind of do whatever I can get my hands on. I have two questions. One of them is from one of our peers and then one from me. I'm going to ask the one from the peer first. And she was asking, how do you reach out to people for parts, things like acting them and getting sets cast and all that kind of stuff?
Casting. Yeah, someone asked this kind of in the last session too. We essentially do two things. It's there's some websites we use that go out to big major areas like LA, San Francisco and stuff, where there's a lot more actors. And essentially you just kind of type up your description, what the project's about, and you can use this website to kind of post it, right? It's like a casting post. And then you'll just get submissions. You get sometimes hundreds, sometimes thousands of submissions of people who either do or don't really fit the description that you're looking for. It's just a super judgmental process of looking through pictures and reels.
It is. And it's awful. I feel
really
dirty
is.
After doing it. I need to go like wash my hands. Because like we're like, no, too tall, too short, too big, too small, too ugly, too beautiful, too whatever. And it's like for that specific role. But then sometimes you're like, dude, this albino guy that just auditioned for this, like, I never thought of that. And like, we ended up giving the part to the guy because he was freaking amazing and had such a cool look that was so unique and different than anything we'd seen. So
you get surprised sometimes.
Sometimes you're surprised. Sometimes you're like, no, we wanted like a strong, good looking brother for this. And then we got like this scrawny glasses, like glasses having white guy. And I was like, what? So it's weird because you want to, the characters have to kind of, but they fit what you've written for, but sometimes you'll get surprised with stuff. But for actors, if you guys want to go on, there's like LA Casting,
Actors Access,
and I think Central Casting are great places where you can just make a profile, and then whenever something comes along that you think you want to audition for, just submit your picture, and then they'll reach out, and then you can go from there and do an audition or whatever. If they're like, hey, we like your look for this part, send us a tape. And then just film yourself on this guy and just send it back. And then they'll be like, hey, we'd like you to read more. And then you kind of go through each cut.
For like generic or general stuff for like background people or extras or featured stuff like that here in Fresno, we'll just do like social media posts or put the word out on Facebook or Instagram or something. Like, hey, we're looking for 20 people in this age range, you know, who can come out, kind of a thing. So, yeah, like follow us on social media because we do put those out when the time comes. It's not super frequent, but when the time comes, we get a bunch of local people to be on set, which is fun.
It's cool because we have a lot more diversity here in Fresno than people think too. So we really get to showcase a lot of that, more so than even in Hollywood in terms of the spread out geographical areas. But so it's great. So if any of you are interested in helping us with that kind of stuff, again, follow at TremendumPix on the social media stuff. But I want to say something about sound real quick. Sound is, if you get good at sound, you're going to find gigs. Okay. It's like there's certain jobs in film that actors, that's a tougher one because like all kinds of people want to be actors. You've seen American Idol, right? I mean, all kinds of people want to be singers too, right? But does that mean everyone should be? No. Okay. Mm-hmm. Not saying you won't be great, but I'm saying that you have like 1,000 other people that are going to kind of be something that producers are going to have to weed their way through to find you. So make sure you stand out. But sound designers or sound production sound folks, there's not as many people looking to do that. So you'll be more likely to find gigs in that field. It's a very important one. It's super important. So good luck in that endeavor. What's your second question?
Thank you. The second question I had, what are some techniques you use for pre-production of a film? And by that, I mean things like story writing and logistical planning.
Pre-production, it's oftentimes very unfun. It's a lot of work. But when you do it well, things go a lot smoother. At least they should. And they often do. We'll storyboard stuff. We'll draw out. You've probably seen that where you draw out picture representations of the shots you want to get, right? We'll budget. We'll plan how we're going to spend the money that we have or don't have.
Or if we're terrible artists, then we'll just go with some friends to the set or the location that we're talking about using. And we'll just have people sit in the parts and take pictures of the framing that we want.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can use those as storyboards later, just actual photograph storyboards.
A lot of it's really just planning and planning how you're going to communicate different things to your team, because I'm sure you guys have done some projects where you're working with other classmates, right? Or other people. One of the biggest, I think, hurdles is just communicating with each other and making sure that your vision is understood or that what you're trying to do is understood. So you really have to like get that figured out for yourself as much as you can, know exactly what it is you're trying to get so that you can communicate it to someone else, if that makes sense. Because once you communicate it to a bunch of other people, you've kind of just cloned yourself, right? And these people who have other specialities like costuming or sound or acting can now make your vision come to life. So communication is like one of the biggest things
it's
in
key.
Pre-production. You just have meeting after meeting of just talking through the idea, talking
through
the story.
Yeah, and you want to have everyone in the same room if you can, department heads and things like that. Because otherwise it's the telephone game. By the 10th person hearing it, you're like, you know, he said, I want something in that room. It's like, no, I want a light stand over here. What do you, and then that takes time on set. When you got 100 people on a set and they're all getting paid and you're the one paying for it, like you're like, that takes an extra 5 minutes. Well, that extra 5 minutes for a studio is $100,000, you know, like, so communication is crucial to a budget and to planning. And look, you can never pre-visualize. You can't do it too much, you know, because on set, you got to make a lot of decisions. It's better to have them pre-chosen.
Not to say you can't make decisions like that on the fly.
You can.
You totally can and should, honestly, most of the time.
It's certainly easier to make those decisions from a strong foundation.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, a lot of pre-visualization, talking through it with your team, and making sure you know what you want is the case. Excellent question.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Great questions. Here we go. The line's building up.
You don't want to stand up and get in front of people.
Right.
All good.
Thank you.
My name is Emily Canales, and my question is, what advice do you have for people who are not confident in themselves?
Not confident in themselves. I'd say something. I'm definitely probably more introverted out of the two of us. I would say it's a skill. Being social or being confident and communicating, like we were just talking about, is something I've had to get better at. It's very easy to kind of just like lock yourself in your brain, right, and kind of keep those ideas or those stories or whatever it is you're working on up here. But ultimately, if you're hoping to become a filmmaker, an animator, an editor, whatever it is you're trying to do, you're going to end up working with a team one day, and you're going to get a lot more done when you have that team around you doing everything, firing on all cylinders. So just work on it. Just practice. Try to communicate with people as much as you can. Share your ideas. And just make stuff too, even if you are on your own. Like when I started out, I was making movies by myself, but I would share them with friends, see them enjoy it. That'd give me some confidence, like, oh, I'm doing something cool.
Or learn from them
what
you're doing wrong, not to feel bad about it, but to figure it out. I mean, the best way to learn how to get great at something is to fail at all the things that don't work. Because then you're like, oh, good, I don't have to do that anymore because that's wrong. And now I'm doing it the right way. But those things aren't wrong to go through. You know what I mean? It's good to go through those things. So you learn the nuance of why you want to do it the right way and why it's important to do it the right way. And I say the right way because there's multiple ways that could be right.
Well, and it's interesting too, like there's a lot of really famous actors and entertainers who are actually very shy in real life. They're very introverted.
Very socially awkward.
Very socially awkward. Very just like, but then when they have that platform or that chance to entertain, they really shine and come out of their shell.
A secondary answer to your question, if you're in a leadership position or if you're a producer or a director, know what you want to do. Be open to changes if you need to make changes, but know and be certain of what you're trying to accomplish so that no one can like talk you out of your dream or your vision or what you need to do. Know what you need to do, and don't be afraid at all to convey that in a strong way. You know what I mean? Like, people generally like to be told what to do or to be given guidance on what to do or where to go. I once saw this guy who was like, he was kind of in charge of something, but there was something that needed to be done, and he saw that, and he just kind of became the person in charge. It's like, hey, you three, I need this table moved over there, and they were all like, oh, okay, and then they went and started helping move stuff, and then it helped the line, the situation, like, get so much more figured out, so much quicker, because one person realized what needed to be done, they took action, and not in a forceful way, but in a... assertive way. And no one was mad about being the grunt that moved this or that. Like, everyone realized, oh, you know what? That was the greater good of the entire situation. So a leader will do that kind of stuff. And as well, I would say the leader would grab one end of the table and help do it, you know? Mm-hmm. But recognizing what's up, knowing what needs to be done to get something done properly, and then going for it. No one's going to be mad at you for taking that kind of a role. And if they are... don't hire them for the next thing. Don't have them back for the next thing because they'll just be a stinker in your project. You know.
Great question.
Thank you.
Hi, my name's Taylor. So how did you guys decide on Tremendum as like the name? Like, is there an importance or meaning behind it?
Yes. So in 2011, we were trying to come up with the name of our company. And the short version is I just did a Google search for obscure words in the English language just because we were kind of stuck. We had some ideas we liked, but none of them were clicking. So we're just like, all right, let's just try something wild. And we Google searched.
That one popped up with the definition of a feeling of awe associated with an overwhelming experience. And we thought that was great. Now, in that sense, it was typically a spiritual experience, which is cool for us because we're both spiritual guys too, and we believe in God and that kind of stuff as well. So for us, that was kind of neat. And we just have, you know, an awesome feeling, essentially, is what a tremendum is. So we want that for our viewers. We want that for ourselves and the people involved with our company. So we thought tremendum is cool. Tremendum Pictures.
Were there any other like interesting runner-up names that you guys had?
We faked like a freak show pictures with our YouTube channel once, and then like
that was before Tremendum.
Off the Cluff was my last name, Off the Cluff Entertainment, and we kind of goofed with a couple of things. But like when we got serious, that was really the best one.
We had plenty of logo iterations, plenty of those that got thrown to the side. But the name, once we got the name, it stuck. Yeah.
Cool. Thank you.
Thanks. Great question.
Hi, my name is Camille, and I'm a senior at Clovis West.
Oh, awesome.
My question is, how do you balance filming and work life?
Well,
we don't.
Filming is our work life. Honestly, it's actually more of how do we balance film and just regular life. I'd say more than anything,
the work life balance is what about. Like, how do we be like? I have a wife and four kids. Chris is family. We have been under the same roof for 10 years now, 11 years. And he's like big brother or uncle to my kids, depending on who is asking.
Or your son.
People don't really.
Mistakenly.
Yeah. Those are fun stories. But it's tough because we work out of our house. And so the family's there. The office is there. We edit out of the house. We don't have like this studio space that we don't have this really cool, you know, green screen theater. We don't have, like, you got some really cool resources here. But we don't really. We try to dip out, and I try to go to as many things with my kids as possible so that no one can call me a deadbeat dad. Right? I don't care about my kids. I just don't want to be called a deadbeat dad.
It's all about the perception.
Yeah. No, church, we're faithful guys. Every Sunday we go to church to stay grounded and to be thoughtful of others and kind of have those principles in our lives to keep us
balanced,
humble,
yeah.
and you know, understanding that we're just little things in this great big universe of people, and we just need to be kind and love one another, and that's kind of it. And then we want to try to kick butt making cool content, you know. So they bleed into each other for us. Some people can just clock out and then go home and then they don't even think about it. They're usually salaried positions, but if nothing's happening, it's up to us to make something happen. We don't get paid from a big company, you know? So it's up to us. So it's tough.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Go ahead. My name is Alexander, and I'd like to try anything and everything. So my question is...
It's legal, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Legal. Yeah. Very legal. But, what,
have you tried murder?
No. What film practices would you recommend when creating videos on YouTube?
Honestly, YouTube is a little bit of the Wild West for us. We don't pretend to know much about it. I know that consistency is a big thing, and algorithms like when you continually put stuff out, right? I mean, that's kind of with a lot of the social media platforms that you guys just keep putting stuff out every day or every week or whatever. But I'd say for most short stuff, like social media stuff, it's usually bite size or something that's far more in depth than you would get on, you know, anywhere else, like podcasts or, you know, a real deep dive into whatever it is you're interested in. So
it would be a very niche thing, though.
Niche things,
you know, but people would want to see.
But honestly, I mean, it's really whatever works.
If you want to use it as a medium to create, then create short bits, things that will hold people's attention span, a couple of minutes, short films, sketches. I mean, honestly, a lot of people are spending a lot more time on TikTok these days for even shorter sketches. So if you can do something that's a minute or two, like an extended Vine, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
You guys remember that? Like an extended Vine, that's great. If you want to do something more long form, just make sure the quality is good. Like, you may have really cheap looking quick things that'll get a lot of views because it's, you know, I don't have to invest so much time in it, but if I'm going to invest more time in it, I want it to be visually stunning and better and super high production value. Like our short films that we've put on some of these, production value is really pretty great. We can get away with a 6 or 7 minute video that'll get a few thousand views here or there because the quality is good. So work on the quality, and you can do longer stuff on YouTube and things like that. But if quality isn't such a thing and it's just more the comedy and the sketches that you want to get through, just shoot it. Who cares? Just shoot it, get it done, and pop it up. Even if you're not happy with it, it's better to just do it and be making stuff and making stuff. You'll get better and better with time. It's tough for us. When we make stuff, we have like the highest standard of quality associated with it. When we're making, it's just like how we do it. So seeing terrible production value like hurts us inside. We die a little bit. But there's a place for it. So I hope that answers your question. It's the kind of stuff that you want to do that you need to think about how you would do it.
Yeah, it does. Thank you.
All right. My name is Daniel. I go to Clovis East High School. Mm-hmm. I aspire to be a landscape architect and hopefully UX design. Unfortunately, I have a buddy who couldn't actually ask a question.
Okay.
So I'm going to ask it for him. What advice would you give to those who would like to take that leap of faith as you once did?
It's a good question. Leap of faith. I think that, the biggest thing is just knowing it's not whether you're capable or not, although that does help. It's just knowing that you're going to do whatever it takes to make the end result the best it could possibly be. There were times throughout the gallows that we could have quit, we could have cut corners, or even other things that we were learning on that it's like, that framing does not look good, or the frame rate is not the proper conversion. And it means we'd have to go back and re-export all these things and import them and re-edit the movie essentially, which is a lot of work. But it's like, people won't notice, but we'll know. So we got to do it. We got to make it good. We got to make it the best it can be. Always fighting to make something the best that you know it can be. Otherwise, you're going to feel gypped. You're going to regret. You're going to look back and say, I should have done this the right way or better. But so not so much what you know, but knowing that you're going to make it the best that it can possibly be by the end of that journey, whatever it is. And you'll learn the things you need to learn along the way. That's just what's going to happen.
Also, like, trusting in the things that are going to unfold, even if you can't see them yet. Like, there's a great metaphor of if you're driving in a car at night from, you know, one destination, say like, you know, Los Angeles to New York, you can't see, you know, that whole destination, but you can see 50 feet in front of you with your headlights. So all you got to do is drive that 50 feet, and the next 50 feet, the next 50 feet, and it's just going to keep unfolding. And eventually you're going to reach your destination, even though you couldn't see it, right?
Yeah.
And it's like that with anything you do. You can't really always see the finished product or the finished whatever. But if you can see it up here and take the steps necessary to get there.
Other stars will align along your journey if you're willing to put in the work to make it the best result. Because we didn't know Blumhouse. We didn't know Jason Blum. We didn't know Management 360. We didn't have any connections to LA, but as we did those things, we put out our trailer the way we planned and it got buzzed and went viral a little bit. Then people reached out and then we met these folks and they introduced us to Blumhouse. Blumhouse loved the movie. They did a test screening. We didn't know about test screenings. You know, we ended up doing some reshoots. They gave us additional resources. And then all of a sudden it's being shown to New Line and Sony and Relativity and Universal and all those things lined up because we were willing to put that in. And it's not we were so amazing. It's that anyone, any person, and I'm talking to any person because I've seen people from the most crazy circumstances go so huge that it's like, okay, no one has an excuse. No one really has an excuse. If you work hard and you work out of your environment and out of your situation, surround yourself with good people with the intention of doing the best thing possible at the end of that journey, all the stars will align. Maybe not the way you thought, maybe a little longer than you thought, or maybe faster than you thought, but they will. It becomes inevitable. Anyway, I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. Thank you. I also have my own personal question.
Sure.
If you were given a chance to go back to the beginning, what would you change?
I wouldn't change anything. There's things that, had I known them, I'd be like, oh, let's set this shot up differently and save time here and there. But honestly, we had to go through what we had to go through. it's hard to say. I think we made really great choices despite the mistakes that they may have brought about, you know, and those mistakes are really the best thing to learn from. We're pretty good now because we were willing to suck then and get past that sucky stage, you know? But you kind of have to go through those stages. You just do.
Yeah, I agree. I second that.
Yeah. Cool, don't just you. Don't let them get you down. Like when you fumble or you trip over the hurdle that's going to come up, because they'll come up, just get back up and go through the next one. It's fine. It's not a big deal. Cool.
All right, cool. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi. My name's Kendall. I've been in drama for several years now. I've also done a couple musicals through my school, Clovis High. My question is, how much different is it acting in films compared to like stage plays and musicals?
It's interesting. I mean, film is, theater is obviously live, right? There's that aspect. But typically what you'll hear is theater needs to be bigger, more animated, and just more exaggerated for the people in the audience to kind of pick up on it and see facial movements and all that stuff, right? Whereas film, typically you're getting up close and personal to the human face, right? Little tiny movements or little tiny eye, you know, or no movements, you know, those things translate, right? Mm-hmm. So typically I'd say just as a broad stroke, theater's usually bigger and film is much more intimate in how you perform, right? But there's a lot of other differences, but there's also a lot of similarities, I would say, too. You know, like you're trying to be a character either way, and you're trying to listen to your scene partner or whoever you're acting with, and you're trying to convey something real, right? Trying to convince somebody that you are actually experiencing whatever it is the character is experiencing. So are you interested in getting into film acting from theater?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, cool. I mean, yeah, it's like, I'd say
you can tone it down a little bit, or quite a bit, actually, because just the most subtle of, if this is your framing and you go like this, it looks like this huge gargantuan movement on screen.
Well, there's also like, this comes with a little bit more experience, but there's also knowing what the camera can see. And right. and how you play to the camera versus an audience, right? The camera is going to be different than an audience is. And there's certain, you know, if that camera right back there is seeing us here, when I turn and I look at the screen here, you know, it's not going to get me very well. And those types of things, it's a bad example, but.
Well, camera awareness.
Camera awareness, yeah.
Like, I'm not going to look this way because you'll see the back of my head, both this, the middle camera, that camera, and this camera's not on me. But I wouldn't turn this way. I would be like, so, and I would maybe turn this way so that it still sees my face.
Actually,
there's just little things like that that you can learn. Camera awareness is
there. One of the episodes we did of the podcast, we talked with Ryan Schuss. He was an actor in The Gallows. Check that one out, because we did this whole part of the discussion where we talk about camera awareness and how he realized that was just a big thing for him as he was getting more acting gigs in LA, how the crew would expect a certain knowledge of the actor to know, like, this is where you stand, this is where you look, you know, this is how you play to the camera. And you don't really learn those things until you just do them repeatedly.
You don't want to do 10 takes because the director has to come up and say, no, the camera's here.
Look this way.
Tom Cruise is like, he walks onto a set and he's like,
boom,
got my wide shot there, close up here. And he's just like, you know, he'll do like whatever look and he'll nail it, you know? But that's why he's so good and so cinematic all the time. It could be a news camera, for crying out loud, and he looks like he's in a movie because he knows the camera awareness is huge. So practicing that stuff, setting up a phone or whatever, and just practicing angles and where the camera's coming from.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Hopefully that helped.
Hello.
Hello. I'm Nathan, and I kind of just put my hand in a lot of things, so if I ever wanted to learn or see what other people are doing, I'd see like a video or a movie. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering how much time you guys put into maybe watching movies for your own projects.
It's a good question. We watch as much as we can. It's tough because sometimes we just get so buried in our own projects that it's hard to find time to watch all the stuff we want to watch. Like there's still some big shows that are like staple shows or movies that we still haven't seen. But
I haven't seen any Game of Thrones. I don't know if any of you guys have. Yeah. But that was huge. Yeah, probably good.
Yeah, probably a good idea.
For me, I would watch the the vid angel version of any of those shows, but like Breaking Bad, some of these shows I haven't seen some of, but they're like acclaimed and stuff, but
it's hard to find time, but yeah, we try to watch as much as we can, and we try to watch stuff similar to whatever it is we're maybe working on at the time. Like if we're working on a horror film, maybe we'll go rewatch The Conjuring or
an adventure or action. We'll watch those.
Yeah, try to glean things that worked from movies.
In terms of learning, we watch a lot of great learning channels on YouTube. Corridor Digital is a great one.
Lessons from the Screenplay.
Lessons from the Screenplay is a great one.
Film Riot. You guys probably have seen a lot of these guys on YouTube. They just
keep watching those.
Great
those
insights.
Great.
Yeah, and behind the scenes stuff. But when you don't have time to watch a full movie or a full show, that's like the next best thing, I would say.
Or our podcast. We've talked to cinematographers, to composers, to actors. I mean, there's a lot of really great stuff that we've been able to put out to people that want to know more insight.
Thank you.
My name is Deacon, and I go to Clovis High School. I'm a junior. I kind of have a lesser question, but if you guys would have a superpower, what would it be and why?
Oh, nice. Good creative question.
I'll have to make one up aside from the one that I do have so that I don't reveal who I am to you all. No. Superpower. This is from a producer side, that I could just maybe one hand, not both. So that way I could still have touch, you know, as a power, but maybe my left hand, anything I could touch would turn to gold so we could get enough money to make all the movies that we want to make.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that would be great.
I'd probably say just from the total nerd standpoint, probably like teleportation would be pretty cool. But from a movie standpoint, that would still be helpful. But I always am saying to Travis, I'm like, man, I wish we could just clone ourselves. I wish we could just duplicate ourselves.
That's so true.
Because there's so many things that you...
I take my gold back. I'll duplicate me and send me to...
Well, with your gold, you can pay someone to make a machine that clones the people and then spend it.
Hello.
Hello.
My name is John Michael Powers. Is there a strategy when pitching an idea, especially a personal one to investors, if that idea may be on the otter, like the otter side?
Pitching is an art form unto itself.
Yeah.
You know, like you might have a great idea that you pitch terribly, or you might have a terrible idea that you pitch fantastically. You know, like it's crazy. Like
someone
how much
thought
of
it was a good idea to talk about a tornado full of sharks.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, like
whoever pitched that idea,
it's a $1 billion idea.
Bravo. They got it done. You know, but it really is an art form unto itself because there's social skills, right? Because you have to read people, you have to read the room, you got to kind of see how people are reacting. But there's also word skills, like just speaking. You got to be able to be sharp and on your toes and say the right words that are tantalizing and make you want to lean in. And it's storytelling. I mean, so there's a lot of skills that go into a verbal pitch.
And it's a lot to do with understanding that the people, if you're lucky enough to get in the room with producers from any streaming service or studio, they want something to work. That's why you're there. They want to find things that can work. So if it doesn't work, maybe just reevaluate what you're doing or the idea. If they're telling you that, hey, there's no market for it right now, they might be right. They might not be. Take it and try to do your best. Like the guy who did Squid Games and the guy who did who brought Power Rangers over here. It took those guys 8 and 12 years to get their stuff made. They got rejected left and right, but they knew that it was a good thing. They were persistent. And eventually the right people made the right choice in having it get made. Thanks for having us, guys. We really appreciate your questions. We're grateful for these opportunities to give back and to explain things to the next generation of artists and filmmakers.
And keep up, guys. Keep up the good work. Like, keep creating. I know you guys are working on some cool projects here, so just keep doing it and you'll be...
Your teachers have a pretty cush job, so make their life difficult. Borrow stuff from them, ask them questions.
Look at that, shut the lights off.
Yeah. So thank you, guys. Give yourselves a hand for the great question.
And for our guests, we know that you guys are super busy, and so for you to carve out this time to bring us into the making of one of your episodes of Unlikely Story and invite us onto this journey and let our students ask literally any question of you, we greatly appreciate it, and we hope that we can continue to develop this relationship for years to come. So guys, one more round of applause for us.
Thank you guys.
Thank you. Thank you guys.
Yeah.
Thank you guys.
Yeah, Mark.